Welcome to the Church of Philadelphia podcast. Get ready for this message to ignite your faith as the power and love of God is shared through his word.
Amen. And so we are in our current sermon series, which is called Kingdom Over Culture. And the title that I have for you all this morning that is linked to our overall overarching topic is in not of. I know that is something that you've probably heard if you've been around church as long as I have. You've heard you're in the world but not of the world, and that's where my title is coming from today, in not of. Amen. And I'm going to be coming from several different places, but I'm starting here at 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Okay. Praise God. So as we talk about kingdom over culture, we have to deal with the in not of. We have to deal with the fact that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not supposed to fashion our lives and fashion ourselves after the way that the world does. And so, this passage of scripture really deals with that and helps us to hone in on that. And that is 1 John 2, 15 and 17, starting at verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Okay, so it says love not the world. And we have to define love, okay? Love is defined as having a strong affection for, warm attachment, enthusiasm, and devotion. Okay, so we're not supposed to have this. We're not supposed to have this for the world. Okay, when I was going and getting started and working through and getting myself together to teach this word, that song by Ambassador Girl Named World came up, and I just had to listen to it. I love that song. And if you are confused by what the world is, then this song will really help you to understand what it is that I'm talking about. But what is the world? Okay, we've heard that phrase a lot. In the world, not of the world. Well, what is the world? Okay, so I'm going to talk about the actual world, the earth with its inhabitants and all things upon it. That's the actual world that we live in, the earth. Okay, but then there is the figurative world, which is the concerns of the earth and its affairs as distinguished from, apart from, separate from heaven and the life to come. Secular affairs. Okay, so the world is a literal place in which we live. Okay, we know that we live here. And it is a figurative moral construct that is run or governed by the prince of this world, who is Satan, who received dominion here when man fell. Okay, so that is the world that we're talking about today, the world. In the world, but not of the world. And we think about culture is embedded all throughout the world. It is in the world, and culture is defined as the customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. Also, it means the characteristic features of everyday existence, such as diversions or way of life shared by people in a place or time. And so you think about the culture, you have social culture, you have social media culture, we have, you know, your culture that you belong to as a part of your family, your race. Even there's a religious culture. As far as, you know, different religions and things that people believe in, there's a culture associated with that. and things like that. So culture is very embedded in the world. So we have to make sure as we are learning how to live as God has called us to, not to love that, not to love the world, because we know that the world can be an appealing place. Okay. The world can be an appealing place. There's so much to see, so much to do, so much to experience, and there's so much that the world offers us. And we have to also keep in mind that though it's offering so many things, most of those things are not connected to God or the will of God. So that is something that we have to bear in mind when we think about the world and wanting to see the world. People want to see the world. They want to go to different places, experience different things, which is not necessarily a negative thing. But if your life is connected to, tied to God and the will of God, then you're going to seek him about doing these types of things. You're going to seek him about going on adventures and traveling and that kind of thing. That is something that, you know, is part of that acknowledging him in all of your ways that the word of God talks about. So if you're going to do those types of things, and like I said, it's not a negative thing, but if you belong to the Lord, if you are living a saved lifestyle, then that is something that you're going to consult him and talk to him about. The world is a familiar place to us. It's where we're from. Before we, you know, became kingdom citizens, before we received Christ, before we got saved, we were in it and we were of it. But because of that divine separation, because of the divine exchange that we had with God, and being able to be reconnected to him through his son, we became kingdom citizens, and we are no longer and we don't operate according to the world. Okay. We have to think about the appeal, because the world still kind of has an appeal, you know, and it has that kind of that hometown feel, that you feel like you're at home. It depends on how you feel about your hometown. I don't necessarily care for mine too much. But some people love their hometown. Some people have a serious pride about where they're from. And so we have to, if you're living in the kingdom, if you're a kingdom citizen, then you have to address those feelings. You have to check those feelings, because the word tells us to love not the world. And the world, as it was talking about in the definition, secular affairs. So what does that mean? The affairs of the world, or the systems of the world, how it operates, how it functions. And it's very intricate, a lot of these systems, and it's very interesting how, you know, man is able to create these systems in order for the world to work. But if you think about how the systems operate, they do not operate, most of them, a majority of them, do not operate according to the will of God. They operate outside of and apart from God. And so we have the governmental and legislative system. We have the economic system, the goods and services system, the educational system, which I am a part of. I am a teacher by profession. The entertainment industry, society at large, and so many other different systems and things that the world has to help itself to operate and to function. And there are some things that transpire and occur sometimes that I can recognize that it's a world system, that the enemy has his hands in the world system and how it operates and how it does things. And you can find that in almost every one of the systems that I mentioned and talked about. You can find him in the government, the legislative system, and the injustices and the different types of ways that the justice system works, the economic system, the way that there's, you know, so many rich people and the population of those rich people. And then there's, you know, those that are impoverished, those that do not have. You can see him in the goods and services system, such a drive for material and material things and things that people want, things that people want to buy, those types of things. In the educational system, I see him a lot in the educational system. The entertainment industry, that is a whole nother, that could be a whole sermon. And also just society at large, we can see the enemy at work. And so we may have to make sure we don't love this thing, that we don't love the world. And it is, we have to really deal with the fact that there's a lot of God's people that have a love affair with the world. It's like they miss the world because, like I said, it had so much to offer. There's so much to do, so much, you know, you can have fun, so many things to do in the world, but there's like a missing and a longing. It's like an ex that you know that is no good for you, but you, they still look good and you miss the times that you had together. So we have to make sure that we don't fall into that with that loving not the world. And so when I think about that, that like looking back, it makes me think about Lot's wife and how she destroyed her. She was not supposed to look back when they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, but she looked back and she was destroyed. So we have to make sure that we don't look back. Yes, you had fun. Yes, there are things that you experienced that you enjoyed. There was, you know, lots of fun times that you had. And so those are the things that we have to make sure that we do not reminisce on and desire back in our lives. We have to make sure that we are moving forward in our kingdom lifestyle. So we have to, it says, neither the things of the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And there are things that are necessary to function in this world and to make this life more comfortable here for us. And God knows that. He knows that we need natural things. He knows we need food, clothes, shoes, a place to live. But those things can range from the most basic of things to the most luxurious, extravagant things. Like those things are, it just depends on where you are, if it's good for you to have the luxurious, extravagant things, or if you just need the basic. You have to know yourself to know if you would lose yourself with the things that are in the world. And also there's some luxuries that come along with being in the world, like having a car. It is not necessarily a requirement to have a car, you know, because they have the bus system and things that people need to get around and travel and things like that. But having a car, having more than one car, those types of things are luxuries that we have here in the earth. But, you know, you need a car to be able to travel and get around and do those different types of things that we have to do. But the same thing can apply there. You can have the most basic of cars, or you can have the top of the line luxurious cars, the kind of cars that my husband loves, the supercars, that kind of thing. And so we have to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. These are things, we do need these things to get things done in life. There's things that are necessary. We need our, you know, cars, we need our houses, we need all of those things. But we have to make sure that we do not love those things, because those things can begin to distract us, like things that we want, what we want, and we can find ourselves in pursuit of those things above the pursuit of God and the will of God and the kingdom of God. We have to be sure that we're not too attached to our cars. We're not too attached to our homes. We're not too attached to, if you're blessed and in the position to be able to have lots of shoes or lots of different things, we cannot be too attached to those things. Those things, like I said, they come to distract, they come to detract us away from being kingdom minded and being, you know, this searching for and seeking after the kingdom of God. We must be careful not to be attached. That further, we have to make sure that we are focused on furthering the purpose of and the kingdom of God. We cannot be distracted pursuing the things that the world has to offer and the things that we even use while we're here in the world. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so even though the word love is here, they both mean something different. The word love, as we talked about a little bit ago, is having a strong affection for, warm attachment, enthusiasm, and devotion. So having a love of the, so if you love the world, if you have that for the world, then it's going to be difficult for you to have the love of the Father, which is the agape love. Love that is benevolence, a love feast, which is the love of, you know, the love of God, the agape love, that love that, you know, it's an abundant amount. There's an abundant amount of love that God has for us. We can see that with what he did for us in giving up his son in order to redeem us back to himself. There's a love that God has that we are supposed to be able to operate in. So if the love of the world is in the place of what the love we're supposed to have for the Father, we're getting off track. We're getting distracted. So at that point of that divine exchange, when we received the life that God had for us in exchange for, you know, the pseudo fake life that we had before, this attachment and the love of the world, that's where it's supposed to be broken. It's supposed to be non-existent. And sometimes it can be a process. It doesn't always go away overnight. But there's no room for two loves in your heart. That's the kingdom over culture. You can't love the culture and then put the kingdom to the side. You have to choose. We have to choose. And sometimes that is difficult, like I said, because the world is such an appealing place. It's supposed to be. That's the way that it's designed. It's the way that the enemy has it set up. Because if we go down to verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And so this is what the world has to offer. It's the agenda of the world, the currency of the world, the focus and the moral code of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The different things that we find ourselves in, the different things that we struggle with and deal with, can fall into one of these three categories. The three pitfalls of man. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So that word lust, it means longing, especially for that which is forbidden, a strong desire. And then that lust of the flesh is that human nature, that carnality, that crude, those crude bodily pleasures and appetites. That's us basically without Christ. That is the flesh, us without Christ. If you think about what your life was like before, if you think about, you know, the things that you used to engage in, the way that you used to think, the way that you used to act, the way that you used to operate, and sometimes you still struggle with not operating that way. That is the flesh. That is us without Christ. So the lust of the flesh essentially is doing what you want. The desire to do what you want doing you. That is such a prevalent theme in the culture, is to do you, do what you want to do. You don't have to do what anybody else expects of you. You don't have to hold yourself accountable to this person, that person, this, you know, institution, that institution. You can just do what you want. That is a worldly mindset. That is a worldly way of life to be, to operate in, and to follow after the desire of what you want, the desire of your flesh. Because if we exchange our life for Christ, then, you know, if we took part in that divine exchange, like, our life is supposed to, our desire is supposed to be God and what God wants for us, and not, you know, the desires of us. The lust of the flesh, and I know sometimes it gets a bad rap because people usually only think it's about sex. It's not. The lust of the flesh is not just about sex. The lust of the flesh is simply that. The desire for you. The desire for what you want. The desire for what pleases you, what moves you, what you want. And that is so much outside of a kingdom mindset, so much outside of God and the will of God. And the lust of the eyes is a strong desire for what you see. There's so much, like I said, there's so much that the world has to offer. So much you see, so much you can look at, so much that you look at what somebody else has and you want that. That's a desire for what you see. And whether it belongs to you or not, whether you're supposed to have it or not, those are things that we have to, when you are a kingdom citizen, those are the things that the confines that, you know, you go by, whether you're supposed to have it or not, whether it belongs to you or not. Some people look at people and they want their someone else's wife. They want someone else's husband, someone else's mate. They want someone else's job, someone else's influence. They want something that they see. They see and it looks a certain way and they like the way that it looks. So they want to pursue it. And that's the lust of the eyes. But that is not what, when you are a kingdom citizen, like I said, that's not something you pursue. You don't just pursue what you see. You know, because sometimes our eyes can be very deceptive from what we see. There's an illusion, there's illusions, and social media is so bad for promoting the illusion. It seems as though things have gotten worse since the institution of social media. I know it's supposed to be a particular way to interact with people if they weren't necessarily in your circle and connect and things like that, but it has turned into some type of horrible monster where there is so much that people see and they think they want that person's life and they want this and they want that. They want to look like this. They want to look like that. And it affects children so much. Social media has such an impact on kids and how they want their life to be, what they want their life to look like, what they think their bodies should look like, what they think, you know, the expectations of others for them. And it's such a deception. It's such a deception. It's the lust of the eyes. And then there's the pride of life, that confidence in yourself, your own livelihood, the way that you pursue your own life, the building of the life outside of the confines of God and the will of God, the it's my life, I'm going to do what I want to do mentality that the world pushes, that the culture pushes. That is the world, y'all. That is what the world promotes. That is what the world sells, and it's selling hard and it's selling out in some places, in some regard. Like there's so people are in such, is it like the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is in such high demand. But if we really, really, really think about this thing, all three of these things were present at the fall of man. The apple was seen, or whatever it was, whatever fruit it was. We don't necessarily know what it was, but the fruit was seen. It was desired above what God told Adam and Eve, above what it was told to them. He said, do not eat it or you will surely die. But for some reason, they stopped believing that, or the desire for it became so much stronger than to obey God. And then the pride of life, it overrode what God's will was for them not to eat it. And so that, friends, is the way of the world. And so that is why we cannot love this. We cannot have that warm affection for this. This is not something that it can be dangerous. And it doesn't present itself as such. It presents itself in a very innocent and very, it's okay. It's okay to do what you want to do. It's okay to get what you want to pursue, to have this ambition, to see, set your eyes on it and you go get it. And then, you know, going outside of God's will, because God is being edged out in so many places. He was so much more apart at one particular time. I don't even know when it started to happen, but it's bad. Like there's such a lack of desire for him. And so we have to make sure that we're bringing him back, and we have to make sure that we are promoting the kingdom and not the culture. In verse 17, it says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world that we know it, the world as we know it, as I call it, the broke down palace, the world as we know it is going to pass away. That is something that happened. It was set in motion at the fall of man, even though it hasn't happened yet. And some people, because it's been such a long time, people don't think it's going to happen. But the earth that we are currently on is going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed. Read up Revelation. It's there. It's going to pass away. And the desire and the lust thereof, the desires that are promoted, that are pushed, it's in our faces every day, all day. When you look at commercials, when you look at TV, when you look at all the different things that are presented to us, but those things are going to pass away. Those things are not going to always be what this world is about. What this world is about is not always going to be. And so that's why we have to make sure that we have the agenda of heaven, as, you know, talking and, you know, the definition of the world was talking about. If we have to have that, the agenda of heaven on our minds, we have to have the having those affairs for the affairs of heaven. We have to have the affairs of heaven and the life to come. The affairs of heaven and the life to come needs to be on our minds. Thank you. It has to be on our minds. It cannot be this temporary place that's going to pass away. That's the big illusion. That's the big distraction, to be so caught up in the world, so caught up with what the world offers, that we forget about the life to come, because there's a life to come. It's one of the line from one of Lecrae's songs that I love so much. We're going to live for eternity, whether you want to or not. Like, we're going to be here, whether people believe they're going to live for eternity or not. It's just the case. It's just the way that it's supposed to be. It's the way that God created us. It's what's going to happen. So we have to make sure that we are living here to live again, living here to live again. And that's why that saying that YOLO, you only live once, is so false, because it's not true. We live here, we're here in the earth, but there's another life that we have to, that what we do here impacts that life. And so that needs to be the mindset. That needs to be what we're focused on. That needs to be on the forefront of our minds. So it said, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Okay. So what is the will of God? What is that? The will of God is for all to be saved. That's one of the basic will of God. You hear people say the will of God, will of God, will of God, and it can embody so many different things. But one of the foundational things of the will of God is for us to be saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternal separation from the Father. That is what we are to be saved from. And, you know, as you go through the word of God, there are so many revelations of the will of God. But one of the most important things is that salvation, being saved, but also to fulfill that purpose for which we are here, why we have been created, why he made us, why he allowed us to be released in the earth. And so it's for the kingdom. That's for the kingdom, things that we're supposed to do for him in the kingdom, things that we're supposed to do in ministry, because things we do for ministry impact and affect the kingdom of God, you know. But ministry is not to be replaced with the relationship that we're supposed to have with God. And that, I think, a lot of the culture of church or the culture of religion gets people caught up in, and caught up in doing the work of God without having a relationship with God, getting caught up in the work of God and not knowing him. That, yeah, we have to watch out for that, because it can be very time consuming, right? Ministry can be very time consuming. The things that we have been given to do, that God has given us to do, can be quite time consuming. And so if we're not careful, we can substitute the work of God for a relationship. And that is a very, very dangerous area. So we have to make sure that we're having that relationship, but we're also, you know, doing that which he's given us to do for the ministry, for kingdom, and in the marketplace. God has called us to the marketplace. Some of us were supposed to be in different industries. Some people I know, God has called them to be to represent him in the entertainment industry, because the entertainment industry is one of the main ways that this world agenda is pushed, that this is presented to us, is in movies and TV shows and all these different social media platforms. Like, these things are in front of us. And so God would have, you know, people to go into the entertainment industry to represent him, to be there for him. He would have, you know, people like me to go and be in the educational system to help to promote his will in the lives of the children at school. And, you know, because, you know, when you think about, you when you send your children to school, it can be so scary for a parent, because they're not with you and you don't know what they're experiencing, you don't know what's happening. But God puts people in place to pray, to, you know, to pray that the will of God be done, to pray, you know, and to teach children and tell them the truth and to encourage them, you know, because there's so much that is slated against them to try to tear them down. But God will put people in place to, in those, in the educational system, in those different places, to encourage the children. And God puts people in so many different places because he wants to infiltrate the world system. He wants to infiltrate. He wants us to get in there and to really begin to promote the kingdom, to have the kingdom agenda being promoted. And we have to make sure that it's sometimes it can be difficult. Okay. I'm not saying that this is always an easy thing to do. It sounds easy because I'm standing up here and I'm saying it, but it's not always the easiest thing to do. Being different at work, it's not always, you know, easy to do. And everybody's doing all this, saying all this, and you're not, you're going to stand out. You're going to stick out. It's just the way that it happens. But it doesn't have to be like weird. You don't have to be weird about it. You don't want to be a weird Christian or weird, like seeming religious person. Like that's not, you know, that deters people. We don't want to deter people. We want them to come. And so if whenever you're in those places, God will teach you and show you how to operate. You don't have to operate according to the world system. That's what that in, not of comes from. You can be in these places, but not of the agenda of those places. In, not of. Okay. And there's no better way to find out what you are for, or who you are, or why you're here, than to get it from the Creator, than to get it from the Father, the one who made you, the one who made us, the one who sent us here with something to do. We're here, but some of us, you know, we're trying to figure out, what am I here for? What am I supposed to do? God will tell you. He will not leave you clueless. You begin to, you know, you will take part in the divine exchange. He's going to reveal to you, and he's going to show you what you're here for and what you're here to do. And so you'll have your in, not of purpose. Okay. And I'm going to go to my next set of scriptures. And this is going to be John 15, 12 through 16, and then 18 and 19. Okay. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruits, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. If the world hate you, ye know it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Okay. I'm going to teach this backwards. That's the way God gave it to me. So that's what I'm going to give it. The way I'm going to give it the way he gave it to me. Okay. Starting at verse 19. It says, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So there's supposed to be an enmity between, or it should be between us and the world. Okay. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We should not look like, talk like, reason like, consider like, think like, behave like, interact like. We should not be like the world. We should not be like the world. And so if there may be certain areas of your life where you've gotten, okay, I'm not like the world here, but I am kind of like the world over here. So this, and like I said, it can be a process. God is going to help us to, you know, if we continue to submit to him and continue to ask, you know, and seek him for help, he will help you not be like the world. He will help you be like a kingdom citizen. That is what, you know, the desire, that is what the desire should be. The affairs of this world should not be our concern more than that of heaven and the kingdom of God. That is what is our agenda should be. That is what, you know, our life should consist of. Because of what he's done for us, we should be in the process of trying to do that and help that happen in the lives of other people. This verse registers, it resonates with me, because for me, I have never fit anywhere. I've never fit. I used to feel like I didn't fit with my family. I'm so much different from them. I didn't fit when I was in school. I didn't fit when I tried to, you know, hang out and do things other people were doing. I never forget one of the times I was, you know, going to my friend's house. I was in college and I was going to my friend's house, you know, because I had hometown friends that came to the same school that I did. And so, you know, I was going to their house, getting ready to go smoke and stuff. And one of the guys from home was there and he's like, "Kiri Best, what you doing here? You're not supposed to be here." I was just like, I felt like a little bit crazy. Like, why is he calling me out like this? Like, because I wasn't supposed to be. I wasn't supposed to be there. And he knew it, you know, because of the way that I was raised, the way that my mom was, the way that, you know, he knew I was different. My difference is apparent, apparently. My difference was apparent. And I tried to fit, but I failed miserably. It was because I don't belong. I was chosen. And if you have that feeling, if you know you never fit, if you know you are not, you're not supposed to. We're not supposed to. That's something that I talk to my children about, because they try to go and they try to do these things and try to live this way. And I'm like, y'all, it's just not going to work. Okay. Because of who you are, because of who your parents are, because of who your family, the people you're connected to, this is not going to work. You're not going to be able to live in this. You're not going to be able to be of this world. It's just not who you are. It's you're chosen. I was chosen and I didn't know it at the time. So I was trying to do all this stuff, being chosen, being rejected by the world. The world did not accept me. I tried so hard, but it didn't accept me because I didn't belong there. And we don't belong here. Like, we live here. Like I said, we are in it, but not of it. We live here, but we don't belong here. We have been chosen, y'all. We have been chosen. And when you are chosen, the world knows it and it hates you for it. The world hates you for it. That is a very serious thing. I'm going to go to 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so in the process of dealing with this, God took me to John 1:10. This blew me away. It says, "He was in the world and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." He was here. He helped to make here. He came and he lived here. And it didn't know him. Like, the level of pain this must have caused and the humility that it took for him to be able to still come and do what it is that he was required to do. Oh, that it wrecked me. Like, he was here, but so unknown. He was a part of making each and every person, and they had no idea who he was. And that there was no recognition of the maker, of the creator's blueprint. His hand was on and in everything in the world, but it was completely unknown by it. That speaks to the level of the depth of that separation that happened at the fall of man. They didn't even recognize that the maker was in their midst. That which he helped to make, which came from him, could not recognize him. That blew me away, y'all. It says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so we represent the kingdom just as Jesus did. And he was hated for it, y'all. He was hated. They hated it. The Pharisees, those that, you know, represented the religious confines of that time, the religious construct of that time, they couldn't recognize him. And it was so mind-blowing to me. Like, you are reading, if you're reading Isaiah, if you're reading this word, he's right here in your face, and you mean you don't know it's him? I was like, this is the problem. He showed those who were close to God, and those that thought they were close to God, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue, because here is the manifested word in your face, and they didn't know who he was. And so that is what I want. I want to deal with that, that rejection, that it hated him before it hated us. And so there is a hatred. There is, like I said, because there's supposed to be an enmity. There's a difference. There's a separation between us and the world. And so there's a the rejection that we face and deal with as kingdom citizens is due to and because of Christ and the cause of Christ. There's a rejection that we're just going to face. Sorry. There's a rejection that we're just going to face. And if you're a person like I was a person that deals with rejection, you're going to have to get, you have to let God deal with you about that rejection, because it's difficult to deal with and understand, especially if you, like, if you struggle with, like I said, if you struggle that with rejection, you have to need, you make to make sure that you get healed. Okay. Get healed from rejection, because there's a rejection that is going to come simply because you're a kingdom citizen, simply because you represent Christ. You represent God and the kingdom of God. There's a rejection that's just going to, you're just going to face. And so it can be challenging and difficult. You take it so much more personally if you struggle with rejection than you should, because it's just, it just comes with the territory. Being a kingdom citizen, rejection, it just comes with the territory. So you need to be, make sure that you're healed from the impact that that rejection has on the inside of you. So it won't send you backwards. It won't make you, it won't move you. It won't shake you. It just comes with the job. It comes with the territory. Okay. I'm going to verse 16. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So before we got to the point of making the divine exchange, we were chosen to do so. Even though we chose Christ at the time of our, you know, getting saved, at the time of that moment where you received his death in your place and you, you know, received him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he were chosen to do so. I remember when I got saved. I had been around church all my life. And so I grew up hearing and knowing about Jesus and the need for salvation, but it wasn't a foreign thing to me. But when it was presented to me, it was like I had never heard it before. When it was presented to me and I knew it was my time, I just knew within myself that this, it just hit me different. It hit my spirit different. And I knew that this was God calling me. I knew that this was, hey, all this help that you necessarily, that you needed, that you've cried out for and wanted, it's right here. This is your moment. And so I knew that. And so I heard the gospel for myself, and there was, it's like an awakening that happened on the inside of me. I knew that I needed to be saved. Even though I had heard it so many times throughout the course of my life, being in church all my life, and not, I knew at that moment, at that time, I was 20 years old. At that moment, at that time, it was time for me to give my life to Christ. And so when everybody has that moment, and everybody, I'm sure you have that moment where you remember where you received Christ, and my life was changed. Everything, it just seemed like everything was so much smaller. Like, I feel like I feel like I can't describe it. It was just, it was such a knowing of that God had me, he was going to be there for me. Like, it changed my whole life. It changed my life. And so we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to go out and do that. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained us that we should go and bring forth fruit. We're supposed to go out and help other people to have this same experience. We're charged with getting more fruit. We're charged with wanting to get more people to go get more people that don't know that they're chosen, to let them know that they are, so that they can become kingdom citizens too. So they can no longer have to ascribe to the world and its offerings and know that they can be a part of the kingdom of God, that there's a family that loves them and wants to help them to know who they are, know why they are, and what they're supposed to do. And so we're supposed to help other people realize who they are and to come to Christ. That is what that means. That is that fruit that's supposed to remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. This is something that we are, I know that we're doing on, and we pray every Friday. We pray every Friday for our evangel, witnessing and evangelism efforts, for people to come into the knowledge of God, for them to be saved, for them to come and hear, you know, for their lives to be transformed, their lives to be changed. So we're asking of the Father in Jesus' name that he may give it to you. So when we go out and we're talking to people, by those prayers that we've stored up and those prayers that we have prayed and asking of the Father for the people's lives, we're petitioning, we're going before him, you know, asking, you know, for people to help us to have that impact on people when we go out, when we're, you know, at the store, we're going about our daily lives. And, you know, God may speak to you, say, hey, that person needs to know me, or that person needs to be saved. Tell them this, tell them that, you know, so we will have be able to act upon those prayers that we have prayed. Then he will be able to recognize when God is that asking that we've done, we'll be able to recognize that, hey, this is the answer here, right here. This is it right here. I'm going to go to verses 12. I want to go back up to 12. I'm sorry. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Okay. Jesus commanded us to love one another, not to love the world. We're not supposed to love the world. We're supposed to love people, but not the world. And so, like I said, as we are here, there's a daily conscious choice that we have to make to not be of this place that we're in. That is quite the challenge. When you're around something, you're around, you know, someone, you know, you begin to talk like them. You guys talk the same, especially your best friends, especially when you're in high school. Like, you have the same language, that people knew that you guys were friends because of the way that you interacted. You know, you when they saw you, you looked like them. When they saw them, they looked like you. That kind of stuff, right? It's challenging not to be influenced by your surroundings, but it's possible. It is possible. It takes God. That's the only way that it's really, truly possible. It takes God to be able to do this right here, to love not the world, to not be of it while we are in it, because there's a purpose that we're supposed to fulfill while we're here in it. And this is the commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We are commanded to duplicate, replicate the love of God, to duplicate and replicate this love that God has had for us. So the world, it has this appeal. It has that, like I said, it has that appeal. It appeals if we're not, you know, we're being renewed in the spirit of our mind. If we're not, you know, continually in the word, like it tries to appeal to that old man. It tries to appeal to our sin nature. And if we're not built up like we need to, it has the possibility of overcoming us. It has the possibility of winning. So we have to make sure that we're presenting ourselves. We have to make sure that we're coming before God. We have to make sure that we are praying, talking to him, and we have to make sure that we're trying to undertake this commandment that we have been given, that we love one another as he has loved us. We know that we're loved. I know that I'm loved, you know, because of what God did for me when, you know, he sent Christ to die in my place. It was love. It was love that did that. And so we have to make sure that we are operating in that love. And it takes him in order to be able to do that. Verse 13, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I'm going to keep reading. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So verse 13 is talking about, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So us laying down our lives, it can look exactly like what Christ did for us. It doesn't always, we're not always required to die physically for others, but the way that we lay down our lives for others is by giving of ourselves, coming outside of ourselves to show the love of God to other people, ministering to, serving, being there with and for people, talking and listening to people. That is what us laying down our lives looks like. Not being so caught up in our daily lives and our daily affairs. Not saying that you don't need to be responsible for your home and responsible for the things that you're responsible for, but we are also responsible for this in being kingdom people and being kingdom minded. We are responsible for this right here. We're responsible that we lay down our life for our friends. We're responsible for those that God has to get out of the world, those that we've been sent to bring out of the world. We have to lay down our lives. We have to give up our life. We have to surrender. This is what took place at the divine exchange. Our life is not our own anymore anyway. And I know it's doesn't feel like that sometimes because of, you know, us being in our head and us, you know, going about our daily life, thinking what we think and all these things, but our life is not our own. And so that is why we have to make sure that we are giving of ourselves, because we're one of the biggest resources that God has to be able to use to do his will in the earth, to be able to get things done that he wants to get done. And so we have to make sure that we are laying down our lives. That is what kingdom people do. We lay our lives down. Okay. Verse 14, if ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. It makes me think about that friend, that song, I Am a Friend of God by Israel and New Breed. It makes me think about that song. He says, I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. Jesus calls us friends if we are doing whatsoever he commands us. We're doing the will of God. We're doing that which that loving, that work of love that we're supposed to be doing. That is work. Loving like God loves is work. But it's something that we need to do. It's what we're supposed to do. And so we are his friends if we are doing what he's commanded us. And it is not comparable to, you know, that it was a while back that Jesus is my homeboy type mindset. Like that's not that. But we are consider his friends when we do the commandment. What is the commandment? To love one another. Okay. Love one another. It's a whole lot giving up and surrendering, laying down your life for people that you do love, people that are in your house, people that, you know, you're giving yourself to, you're dealing with them each and every day. It's a whole lot to give up yourself for them, but to give up yourself for people that don't even like you, people that are not even looking to reciprocate the love that you're giving, that takes a God to be able to help us to do that. It takes God, y'all. It takes God to be able to do that. And we can't be that. That is definitely not an of the world type of thing. Loving others that don't love you, that's not a worldly mindset, y'all. That's not the way that, you know, the world does. It's like, if you don't love me, then bye. I don't have to deal with you. Like, and that's not what God does. That's not who God is. Thank God that he is not into canceling, like the cancel culture. Thank you, Lord. The love of God does not cancel people. Think about that. I should have been canceled a long time ago. If that's the case, thank God he doesn't cancel like the cancel culture. The love of God doesn't cancel. It accepts. It extends. It reaches out. It forgives. That is what the love of God does. And that is what we need to do for other people, for them to know that even though they come up short, even though they mess up, there is a God that loves you and wants to help you and change you and to help you come into the realization of who you are and to why he's created you, for you to be able to be a kingdom citizen. That is what the love of God does. He expects the same from us. He expects us to be able to accept, us to be able to extend ourselves, reach out, and forgive. That is what he's looking for. And it is very unpopular in the world. It's very unpopular in the culture to do so. Because, and one of the things my mom used to say to me as a kid is like, God is way more forgiving than man. I had no clue what she meant at that time. As I grew up, I understand. As I live my life according to God, I understand. Because people will always try to bring up what you said, what you did. And that's where that cancel culture comes in. You said this, you did this. It's like, you can never change. Like, you can never be a new, like, you can never have grown from what you said or what you did. And they just want to just get rid of you and just put you away. That's not how God does, thank God. That's not how he operates. I'm very grateful. Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So we are in this thing together. The expectation, yes, is for us to do what God has commanded us and called us to do, but there is a relationship that he has with us. Like he said, like, he doesn't just command us to go do things and we don't know why we're doing it. We know why we're doing this. We know why we're in, not of. We're in here, we're here, but we're with the purpose and with the mindset of getting as many people as we can to be a part of the kingdom with us. That is, it's like, we're not just going out and just doing things and just because he wants it done, we are. But he doesn't just expect that from us and that's it. He wants a relationship. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to have a relationship with the people that we're supposed to go out and get. And that this relationship with him, it should supersede all others. Because it takes maturity. It takes time to be able to have the relationship that you have with God, that superseding that with your husband or spouse or your significant other, your children, your family, loved people or your friends. That relationship is supposed to supersede and be bigger than any relationship in your life. That relationship will help you how have other relationships, how to govern yourself in those relationships, what you're supposed to bring to the relationship. If you don't necessarily have that relationship with God, then it's going to be difficult for you to know what you're supposed to bring to your other relationships, because you're having that communion and that fellowship with him helps you, and it helps you know who you are, helps you know who you're supposed to be to this person, to that person. And only God can give us that. Only God can give us that information. That which he has heard of the Father, he makes known unto us. So these things are known unto us. These things are known. If you have been in this thing as long as I have, or not as long as I have, like, there is a love of that God desires for his people to know. There is a way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves, that we're supposed to walk, that we're supposed to live, in order for people to see that difference, recognize that difference, hopefully at some point ask about that difference, or that we're able to share about that difference. Why we're so different? It's because we're in the world, but not of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This was God, y'all. This is, amen. I just thank God for being able to give what he gave me to help with this sermon series, because it's a very pertinent and very important sermon series. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in, and please make sure to visit us at churchoffilla.com for more podcasts and ways to connect with us on social, to like, subscribe, follow, and share content as it comes along. Special thanks to those who give in so many ways to this ministry. We could not do any of this without you. And if you want to give or be a part, visit churchoffilla.com/give for more information. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.